All right, book of Isaiah, 5th chapter, the book of Isaiah. Boy, I don't know so much if it's me or the Lord, Robert, today at dinner. We got to talking. I walked in a place, men recognized me I hadn't seen about 7 years. I got to thinking about some prior days and some people that I knew back in them days. I almost went another route, but God kept bringing me back to Isaiah chapter 5. And I'm interested in verse 14. Therefore. Wow. Now, anytime you see the word therefore in the Bible, see what it's there for. Amen. God bless your heart. Therefore, hell hath enlarged. We'll think about that for a minute herself. You know where I see that? I remember when I was a boy, working them old tobacco fields in East Tennessee in Unicoi County, and I wanted to be doing something else. Besides crawling along behind that old tobacco setter, making sure the dirt was covering the roots, you know. If I'd seen a black cloud come up over that Buffalo Mountain, it'd tickle me to death. Because if it come a good rain, you couldn't work that ground for 2 days. Amen. Boy, I got some time off. But nowadays, it didn't come a good rain of a morning, I'd run my rototiller that evening. Hell hath enlarged herself. Getting closer to the crust, upper crust, buddy. Yes, sir, drying faster, ain't it?
Getting closer.
Boy, I saw that firsthand a year a while back, and I was out there running my rototiller one evening after it rained hard that morning, Lonnie. Yes, sir. But God didn't quit. He didn't let Isaiah lay the pen down right there, did he? And hath opened her mouth without measure. Think about that.
Wow.
And their glory, their multitude, their pomp, he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Father, take your word, accomplish that, sir. You'd have done with it, and I'll praise you for that accomplished. If it's in Jesus' name, I do humbly ask. Amen, and you can be seated.
Wow.
Therefore hath hell enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Almost tempted Rick preach on hell's big mouth.
It's a whopper.
Think about without measure.
Yeah.
I drive a lot, you know, on the interstate, getting where I need to be these days. And they got these weigh stations for the trucks. Now, I had 3 truck drivers. One of them died here a while back over at Farallonis. I still got 2 coast-to-coast drivers in the church. And they call them chicken coops, you know, these weigh stations. And I've noticed signs before you get to them says, if the ramp is full, you're permitted to keep it going. You know, them trucks don't have to pull in there if that ramp's full. Don't want them backing up on the interstate, see. So I asked my men one day, I said, hey, fellas. I said, when you know full well you're overloaded, there's such a thing getting on that CB radio and say, some of your trucker buddy, hey, I've got too much on. How about getting up here ahead of me and fill that ramp up? So I can bypass it.
Yeah.
And they didn't deny it. They didn't own up to it. They just grinned at me, you know.
Uh-huh.
But they do that, you know, because that ramp won't accommodate. But so many trucks. And they're allowed to bypass.
Amen.
I thought about that when I read here in the Word of God off the wall of my mind that hell's mouth is without measure. You know what that tells me? Nobody deserving to go there is going to bypass hell, man.
Nobody.
She's got a ramp long enough and a mouth big enough to accommodate everybody that does, you know, needs to go there. Yes, sir.
Well,
mouth without measure. And boy, God took those two words, without measure. Robert, burn it on my heart. I'm glad I don't have to quit with the big mouth of hell.
Hey, thank God.
Being without measure.
That's right, preacher.
Boy, I began to see some other stuff that God called to my attention out of this blessed old book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 37th chapter of the book of Exodus, God give old Moses a plan for the tabernacle. A lot of people don't know it, but when Moses went on the mountain to commune with God, hey, he didn't just come off there with the tables of stone.
No, he didn't.
He come off there with the plan for the tabernacle. And God told him what metal to use. He told him what wood to use. He told him the colors to use. And he gave him all the measurements. The furniture and everything about that tabernacle. We used to have an old man, he's dead down in heaven years ago. When I went to Spring Creek 42 years ago. Old Brother Frank Ellis, he'd made him a replica of the tabernacle, and he went around meetings like this, you know, just teaching the tabernacle. And boy, I tell you, they have a message in that thing.
Oh, Lord, you have many of them.
Speaks of Jesus every which way you look. And speaks of our salvation any way you want to look at it.
Yeah, buddy.
I tried my best, normally, to get old Frank to come to Spring Creek. But he's so in demand, you couldn't get him. So I had my Bible school boys build me one, Robert. And boy, I just lit in Rick to that tabernacle.
Amen.
And preached through a time or two, you know, over the years. Went back to get it. Boy, I'd made a mistake. In them days, you know, we made our glue out of flour and water. And I was a youngin', that's how we made our kites. You know, take newspaper and flour and water and fold it over and paste it. Well, I had that flour and water glue, you know, in that tabernacle, a lot of it, and the rats like that. The rats eat my tabernacle. But I had a good time with it while it lasted, man. I'm telling you what's the truth. And that began to come back to me, Lonnie, when I read this without measure business. God told him every dimension in that tabernacle with the exception of three things.
Yeah. Amen, preacher.
That was without measure. Now when you stepped into that tabernacle, into that outer court, first thing you came to was a brazen altar. 5 cubits wide, 5 cubits long, and 3 cubits high. He gave him the exact measurement because it spoke of Calvary.
Yeah.
That's where the animals died. Picture Jesus and what he did for me.
That's right.
What he did for you.
Amen.
What it took to get us saved.
What it took.
And he gave the exact measurement right down to the letter and said, don't add nothing to it. Don't take nothing. Right, here's how it is.
Amen.
But ain't it amazing they've come around today and they preach the blood plus water baptism.
Yes.
They preach the blood plus speaking in tongues.
Yeah, everywhere.
You say, I wouldn't bring that up in my message. If you ever preach one, bless God, you can leave it out. I mean, God said don't add nothing to salvation.
That's right. Amen.
Now, some of this stuff's got its place. If you've been saved and ain't been baptized, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
That's right, preacher.
And I mean, I like what one little old boy said. He'd been saved, and he come up one Sunday and told his preacher, he said, I've been saved, preacher, now I want to get advertised. And that's exactly what it is, baptized, advertised.
Amen.
Look here, world, what's happened to me?
Amen.
Died out to the old man, raised in the newness of life. But it ain't got a thing to do with getting you saved.
No, amen.
Uh-huh. God said, don't add a thing to it. Man, it's a blood plus nothing minus
that's
nothing.
Right,
and he gave the exact measurements
yeah.
of that altar. Next thing you come to is a laver.
Mm-hmm.
Where them priests cleaned up to go in there and minister for God.
Water.
And that thing's full of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, sir. And you know what? There's no dimension put on it.
Thank you, Lord.
What's water speak of in that book? The word itself.
Sir. Amen.
Right there's a book without measure.
Without measure. Still.
Yes, sir. I mean, when it comes to time, it's without measure.
Amen.
I mean, all these other books have to be updated. Upgraded, don't they?
Amen.
Science books, math books.
Amen.
I had a old set, I don't even remember where to got them, it's been so long, of World Book Encyclopedias. I'll tell you how old it was. It's before a jet engine was invented. And the airplanes in it all had propellers. Even the commercial aircraft that was pictured in had propellers, you know. And Peyton and Gabe, when there's this little old boy, Peyton's 17 now, and there's this little old boy, they like to look at them things, look at the pictures. So one day I told him, I said, hey, boys, take them home with you and have them. They must have been 25 of them, you know, book, big old books, world book. And tickled them to death. They went running to Beth and they said, hey, Mama, Pappy said we could have these books. She said, you ain't bringing them things to my house. Said, you can leave them here, Pappy, and look at them if you want to. Well, I got tired of being around. I think I took them to the dump after a while. Yes, sir. But my, how outdated those things were. But thank God right there's a book as up to date as tomorrow's newspaper.
Every day.
Every day.
Never has to be upgraded when it comes to time, man. Without measure. That's what I'm saying when it comes to time. And then when it comes to people. I mean, it'll preach in Africa. We found out Rick preached in Jamaica, won't he?
Amen.
First time I held a copy, but in the island of Jamaica, I had 80 people come forward.
Wow.
Said, I want that Jesus, preacher.
Amen, brother.
I lined them up, 10 across and 8 deep.
Wow.
80 of them. My Jamaican counterpart tried to talk them out of it, the fact that they just come up close to a white man, you know. But he couldn't talk them out of it. They come to get right with God. Yes, sir. And so it's without measure when it comes. Boy, me and Lonnie here reminds me. Me and Robert went to Harbor Freight today, Lonnie.
What a blessing.
I called and invited him. I can't believe he let something stand right between him and Harbor Freight. He's failing, ain't he, these days? Half backslid or something, Norman. And I remember when I first started coming to Pleasantdale, me and Lonnie started going to Harbor Freight in Chattanooga. First time we went, we had to get a policeman to show us where he's at. We couldn't find him. Chattanooga's bigger than Beulah Dean, in case you don't know. And matter of fact, Erlanger Hospital bigger than Beulah Dean. I went down there to see old brother Raymond King, you know, Erlanger, little old William Jackson. Some of you remember William, little old fella used to drive me around. And I put William by the door. And I said, don't you move. I'll never find you, William. Stay right here till I find Raymond and visit, and I'll come back and get you. Come back, and William wasn't there, Norm. Oh, no. I'm in that place big as a town. Now, I got to thinking, if I'll just stand still and listen, I'll hear him. He's loud, boy. Amen. He had a voice that'd carry. And after a while, I heard old William's voice. And he's all crippled up and wasn't too good of health. And there's a black nurse pushing him in a wheelchair. He'd hitched him a ride, boy. Yes, sir. It's a big place. We went down there, got out of Lonnie's vehicle, and I said, hey, wait a minute, Lonnie. Right there in that same little old shopping center where the old Harbor Freight's at, there's a little old store there that said African Jamaican Grocery. Now, I talked Jamaica with you. I made 25 trips. I've got a lot of friends on that island. Lonnie's with me, most of them, Rick, few of them. And he sang that stone rolling out of the mountain and get me an audience to preach to, Norman. And I said, I'm going to find out about this African Jamaican Grocery. Walked in there and there's a young black lady at the cash register. Nobody else in there except me and Lonnie and her. She had anything you could buy in Montego Bay, Jamaica. I mean, she even had tea, grapefruit drink, didn't she, Lonnie? And yams. Difference in a yam and a Irish potato, they dig them in the woods, you know, and they're big enough, long enough, you carry them like stove wood, you wow. know, them yams. She had them yams and all of it, didn't she? And all that seasoning, jerk seasoning and all that, you know. I walked over to her, Norm, and I said, honey, you from Jamaica? She said, no, sir. I said, you could have fooled me. Looking at her, you know. She said, I'm from Africa. She said, what, sir, are you doing here? I said, I'm up here in this man's church preaching revival. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you, Pastor. She said, I was in Africa. And she said some missionaries came to our village and showed us a film about Jesus. And she said, I got to watching what that man did for me. And she said, I got to crying. She said, I couldn't control the tears and the emotions. Said, I was shaking like a leaf. I said, they call it conviction, honey. And she said, I couldn't stand it. And said, I jumped up and run down there and told one of them missionaries, I want that man as my Savior.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Now, she said in Africa, she said, sir, I wore cartars for shoes. And she said we had people in every village that has their occupation. They cut up old cartars and segments and you'd tie them on, you know, a string or something around your foot, and said they'd even paint the ladies pink or yellow, you know. But said, I grew up wearing cartars for shoes. Said they'd make the young'un's shoes out of motorcycle tires, cut them in segments. And she said, boy, I got saved, preacher, and God allowed me to come to America. And she said, I want you to look here, I ain't wearing cartars no more. You was listening, wasn't you, Lonnie? I said, honey, I'd go you one better than that. I never did have to wear car tires for shoes. I got to think about my youngins never did have to wear no car tires. We ought to be the shout in this crowd this side of heaven,
amen.
People.
Amen. Huh? That's right.
My God, they're still over tonight wearing car tires for shoes.
Yeah.
You ladies, you've got cement in the closet and under the bed. I mean, it takes you forever to make up your mind which pair you're going to wear.
You're preaching now, brother.
Trying to help you fellas, and I ain't getting an amen out of a one of you. We went to Harbor Freight today. Worked out just fine because Sherry and Carolyn went a different way. She don't like Harbor Freight. Grumbles every time I say I'm going to Harbor Freight in London. Try to find me something else to do, Rick. And I said, ain't it strange? These ladies never have come to appreciate the finer things of life, like Harbor Freight and shotguns and coon dogs. And y'all a hard amen fellas right there now for sure. Yes, sir. But me and that little African girl went to church, Lonnie, and old Lonnie got in on it, Rick.
Yep.
We had a spell. Well, every time we'd go to Harbor Freight, we'd visit with her. Go back in there and talk to our little old friend from Africa, boy. But you think about wearing car tires for shoes.
I'm blessed. Well,
my Lord God's been good to us, ain't he?
Oh, Lord.
Yes, sir. What a God's blessing, boy. Amen.
Without measure.
And so, that without measure took on me, preacher.
That's right.
Yes, sir. That book's without measure when it comes to people. It'll preach in Africa, preach in Jamaica, preach in Beulah Dean. Yes, sir. And then it's without measure when it comes to places, Robert. People, time. And so God didn't put not one dimension on that lever holding that water. Because that water's a symbol of the Word of God.
Yes, it is.
And that book's without measure.
Man, it's not bound.
You leave the outer court and step into the inner court. Over here on the right is a table of showbread, and God give the dimensions for it.
Yeah.
Up ahead's an altar of incense, and God give the dimensions for it. But over here on the left is a golden candle, 7-prong golden candlestick, and there ain't one dimension on it.
No.
Huh? Because it speaks of Jesus,
yes, it does.
The light of the world.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
Have you ever noticed, boy, how the devil delights in piling the darkness on us?
Yeah.
I mean, man, he just thrills at piling more and more darkness on us.
God, he will.
But ain't it good? God's got more light and the devil's got dark.
Amen.
God's light is without measure. Hallelujah. God didn't put one dimension on that candlestick. Hallelujah. He's got a lot of light, preacher. Thank God. Amen. Next time the devil's kicking the dark on you, you just remember how much light God's got.
Amen, preacher.
Prepare yourself for the light. It's a-coming. Daylight's a-coming. Yes, sir. What a blessing. All right, we step out of that inner court, that holy place, into the Holy of Holies. That old high priest once a year, he'd stand before that veil and drop 7 drops of blood to give him safe footing before he'd go behind that veil. When he stepped behind that veil, and I'm told that they'd tie a rope around his ankle, because if he wasn't clean enough, God would kill him. And they couldn't go after him They'd have to drag him out.
They'd die.
And on the bottom of his garment, he had a pomegranate and a bell. And boy, as long as they could stand out there and them other priests and hear the bells ringing, they knew their high priest is alive. Hey, I ain't exaggerating one little bit. That they've been some times I prayed and I could hear the bells ringing. And I knew he's there. Didn't stay dead, Gary.
He didn't stay dead.
Bells will still ring, boy.
Yeah, he's still
hallelujah.
There.
And what a God's blessing. And boy, he'd step in there, and there was the mercy seat. Now, it was 2.5 cubits in length and 1.5 cubits in width. And God quit right there. He didn't give the height. And you can't figure volume without all three dimensions. That makes it without measure, Gary.
Mercy!
Because God left off and didn't give the height of the thing.
Amen.
Hey, good. God's got mercy without measure tonight. Boy, I needed a lot when I got saved.
Amen.
I'm such a sinner. Boy, it took a lot and God saved you, didn't it? But God just had as much left as ever. It's without measure. The mercy of God. Ain't that good news tonight?
Amen.
Boy, no, God's mercy. He ain't going to run out. Thank God.
Never.
Hallelujah. I wish somebody would help me.
Amen.
What a God's blessing to know tonight.
Amen.
God's without measure. And this God without measure has got some stuff without measure. Boy, and one of them things is that mercy seat, ain't
it? Yes, sir.
Amen. Can't figure the volume of it because we don't know the thickness of it. No need trying to figure it out. No,
just enjoy it.
Amen. Boy, I was down there at the Unzwani, Pleasantdale. I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I guess it's been when that song first came out, Mercy Walked In.
Mercy, yeah.
Still a beautiful song.
Still a good song.
I got to wanting to preach on mercy down there one night in Lonnie. You was there, Rick, I guess. And I said, I didn't know what Geraldine might be able to, you know, play it and sing it, but she couldn't. And I asked, I said, anybody here know the words and could sing When Mercy Walked In? Joy Harvey raised her hand. She's with the Lord now. She said, I know it, preacher. She sung Mercy Walked In. And man, I felt like preaching more than ever on mercy. I was guilty, man.
Oh, I was guilty, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't deny it.
Condemned.
But mercy walked
thank
in.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Ain't
amen.
You glad God didn't run out before you got saved?
Thank you, Lord.
It's without measure.
You deserve it.
I thought about a courtroom scene.
Yeah.
Two old boys had robbed a store, but there was an eyewitness. Saw the whole thing. They called him and it ended up in court. And that prosecuting attorney had that eyewitness on stand. And he said, did you see what went on in that? He said, I sure did. He said, did you see the men, the guilty one? He said, I sure did. Said, would you recognize them if you see them again? He said, I sure would. And so he just turned his back to the witness and turned to the audience out there, and he said, talking to the witness, you know, he said, are they in this courtroom? And them two old boys raised their hand. Well, they just might as well.
Guilty?
Huh? Eyewitness. think about it. Everything you've ever done, there was an eyewitness.
Amen. Lord have mercy.
Everything I've ever done, there was an eyewitness, Norman. Thank God for mercy. Hallelujah for mercy tonight. Glory to God. Mercy without measure. Listen. Boy, if God is going to run out of mercy, be bad news in those of us with lost loved ones, wouldn't
it? Oh, Lord.
But thank God the mercies are ready for them to be forgiven.
Ready.
Hallelujah.
What a Savior.
Glory to God. As we stand all over this auditorium, I don't know how God's speaking to you. Boy, it's a shame. People's going to die without God and go to hell and mercy available, ain't it?
Yes.
Had a preacher tell me,
Lord.
Pastor, a little old church north of Charlotte, North Carolina, Stony Fort Baptist Church. And he said, just down from the church in a house trailer, three old boys lived that was lost. And he said he'd visited them, couldn't get them to come to church. But he said one Wednesday night, he went to the pulpit and looked back, and there they sat, them three lost brothers. One 18, 120 and 122, all three of them lost. He said God changed his message that night and he preached them three lost boys. And he said he went back and stood by the door as people left that night. And them three lost brothers told him, said, preacher, we ought to got saved tonight, but we didn't do it. He said, preacher, tell you what, we'll be back, said the oldest, and said, we'll be back Sunday. And we're going to take care of this thing. That was Wednesday. The next night, a kerosene heater malfunctioned in that trailer. It burned to the ground, and they went out and met God. Three old lost boys. He said Saturday afternoon, three white hearses come up old Stony Fork Road, backed into the church with them three brothers' body. He said he went over to one of the undertakers, said, which one of them's Brian? He said the youngest of the three was named Brian. Said he laid his hand on one of them coffins, said, this is Brian. He said, and they left on Wednesday night of that same week that Brian had come back from a parking lot and said, preacher, how far is it to heaven? And he said, son, you've asked me a hard question. He said, your brother said you'd be back Sunday. I'm going to pray about it and I'll have you an answer. He said he did his best to preach to that crowd, three lost boys' body, in front of that church that day. He said as he walked down to escort them coffins out, he said he laid his hand on Brian's coffin and said, Brian, I've got your answer, son. Said, I came over here yesterday and stepped off the distance from where the door of the old house trailer was at to this altar. 367 steps, Brian. Said, son, you died 367 steps from heaven. Hey, some of you's got loved ones closer than that to hell tonight.
Amen.
You ought to be in this old altar, amen, calling their name.
Yes.
God's got plenty of mercy, wants to save them. Amen. Waiting on us, praying enough conviction down on them. Boy, where they'll have to move for God, do something about it. I don't know how God's speaking to you. Where's my piano player at? Come here, honey, and play for me, would you? Something for invitation tonight. Amen. God bless you, folks. God bless you. Amen for your honesty. Preacher Bob, I don't know about nobody else, but there's something I need to bring up with heaven. Amen. Ladies, last one, that church hymnal, if you can play it. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest, thank God, beyond the river. Somebody else just needs to get down here tonight and thank the good Lord you ain't wearing car tires for shoes, are you? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Somebody else just needs to get down here and thank the Lord he had mercy to save you. And you're heaven bound tonight because God's mercy's without measure. Hallelujah. I'm glad I preach a book tonight, Pastor, without measure. I'm glad God's got light without measure. He said, Moses, don't you put no dimension. I'm not telling you how to build that seven-pronged golden candlestick. It's to be without measure because it's going to speak of my son, the light of the world. I serve a big Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He's big enough to take care of your little old problem if you'll come here and talk to him about it tonight. Preacher, something I need to bring up with heaven before I leave. Come on, yeah, would you right now while the music plays?
So close.
I never take for granted everybody's a Christian. You hear lost and undone without God. God knows my heart. If I could, I'd crawl down that aisle for you to keep you out of hell. But I can't do it. It's a personal experience you have with God. But I'll guarantee you this. If you'll take the first step, he'll walk the rest of the way with you. If you'll just obey God. Hallelujah. Do for you what man can't do. Boy, ain't you glad we serve a God that's got some stuff without measure. Just let the devil pile the dark all he pleases. But God's got more light than the devil's got dark. Amen. And light does dispel darkness. I don't care how dark this room is. You flip a switch back there and the dark's got to go. Huh? Yes, sir. I grew up in the days. As a little old boy, I still remember, Rick. Them old timers had a string run from that little old chain that hung down from that light bulb in the center of that bedroom to their bedstead. They gonna get in bed and they pull that string. Turn the light out, man, it get dark. But if they want to get rid of the dark, all they had to do is pull a string. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, all I gotta do, get on my knees, Lord, I'm tired of this dark.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
And he'll turn the light on.
He'll turn it on.
Yes, sir, buddy, down deep in your soul. Somebody else, it ain't a personal need, it's the need of another. You just feel compelled to pray for him before you leave tonight. I'm so glad somebody prayed for me.
Yes, sir, preacher.
I'm glad I had a mama, boy, wouldn't give up on her boy. Yes, sir. Boy, I remember an old backslid boy. I had a 58 Chevrolet. Bit of dust got on that thing, boy. I had a cloth in there. I'd get it off, you know. I was going to Irwin, Tennessee one Sunday morning. Cruise around that 58 Chevrolet. Only thing, I had to pass Unicoi Baptist Church. I had a mama in there praying for me.
Thank God.
I got about a quarter mile past the church, and I had to turn around.
Yeah.
I thought this is foolish. I went about a half mile the other side of the church, turned around, and when I come by that church, I had that four-barrel carburetor open. I said, I'm going to Irwin. Got over there about a quarter mile, same place. I had to turn and go back. I couldn't get over Mama's prayers. Hallelujah.
Mercy.
Now I feel obligated to pray for others. Somebody prayed for me. I'm glad we lift some others up to the Lord. Boy, God will work in their life. Hallelujah. Bible school. This year, boy, I really got thinking about one day this hell's opened her mouth without measure. Our theme this year in Bible school was about the creation. And come with the material, a big old moon and sun, these planets, say, Lonnie hung up front, you know. And about God being the creator. Well, Friday, I always give an invitation at Bible school. Friday rolled around, and I looked out over the congregation, and I didn't see anybody play the piano. And I'm thinking I'm going to wait till Sunday night and give the invitation this year because I've got nobody to play the music. Boy, God jerked me back 38 or 40 years, Unicoi Baptist Church. I preached one Sunday morning. Walking out of that church and down them steps, that big rock building, and a little old boy grabbed my coattail and he said, "Preacher, I meant to get saved today and you didn't give no invitation." Wow. Right there, I could take you to the step I prayed on. I said, "God, being my helper, sir, that'll never happen to me again." And I'm thinking, here I'll wait till Sunday night, and I couldn't do it. Well, Carolyn had told me, said, "There, Methodist lady a coming that teaches piano. I didn't know her name, and she's bringing her little boy." And I looked back at her, got her attention. I said, "Honey, I'm told you can play a piano. Come up here." And that Methodist woman come, got on that piano, and began to play something softly for invitation for me. Right here is what I said and all I said. I said, "Youngins, you've been studying all week long about God the Creator. Now I said, the God that made this moon and the God that made the sun and the stars and the planet made you. Now I said, youngins, he didn't make you for hell. He made you for heaven." And I said, "You ought to make up your mind right now. You ain't going to hell. God didn't make you for hell." First one jumped out in the aisle, come around that little Methodist boy.
Methodist boy.
That mama on the piano, she couldn't sit there. Boy, she come unglued, man.
Right.
Her boy up there getting saved.
Yeah.
I don't know if the little old fella had ever had anybody to tell him about hell or not. If not first time he heard about it, he said, "I don't want to go there." Here he come, boy, and got saved. Thank God, ain't you glad God's got plenty of mercy tonight?
Amen.
Anybody wants to go? I've been preaching the same crowd, most of them anyhow. A lot of them went on to heaven. Others been added. A lot of them, I been there long enough. I was there when they was born and there to see them saved and married some of them and some done gone on to heaven. And they sit there, Robert, and they write in their Bible what I preach and date it. Huh? Now, I've been preaching that crap 42 years. But I'm glad, Norman, I've got a book. Without measure.
Amen. Yeah, buddy.
Amen. That's good.
You can't exhaust it. And it's up to date as tomorrow's newspaper, even more so than that, buddy. What a God's blessing. Hallelujah. I thank you for hearing me. It's been a joy to be back with you. I've got some awful good friends. An old boy back here I know, boy, too. And in this place tonight, always good to see old Brother Gary ready to sing. He ain't dead and he ain't going to stay gone for me. I'm glad Norman's feeling better. He'd been down about. Good to see him able to be here tonight. My old buddy over here, he gets out and gone sometime before I get to thank him for coming. I'm doing that right now. Amen. You know what? He goes on vacation. He comes by Spring Creek before he gets any further. Goes to church. Yes, sir. What a blessing it is to see him. Amen, buddy. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
I've got four kids. Three of them in church regularly.
God bless you. Amen.
Got messed up. Wrong stuff.
God bless you, buddy.
Been praying for him. I want the church to pray for him.
God bless you, buddy. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Boy, ain't taking obedience is better than sacrifice, that book says. Yes, sir. Hey, some others, if you'd mind God, do the same thing.
Amen. I got a boy that needs prayer too, Bob. God, you think you don't need it.
This could be their night, amen. Might be the prayer, buddy, God's been waiting to hear to pour out enough conviction they'd have to do something. Yes, sir. Well, preacher, what will somebody think about me if I step out in that aisle and come? What's God going to think about you if you don't? Him asking you to. God bless you, honey. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, ma'am. God bless your heart. Hallelujah. God bless you, ladies. Amen. Well, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you what, you mind God, you'll never regret it in this life or the life to come. You'll just obey God. Amen. What a God's blessing. Well, I'm glad there's still a few around to do what God says. Amen, brother. It's untelling what the Lord's going to do in their life and for them. Amen, as a result. Amen. Boy, it's good to step right out in the open and say, hey, world, I ain't ashamed of my Savior.
Amen.
What a blessing it is. Glory to God. Walk out and down and around. Boy, Jesus didn't die in a corner, did he?
No.
He died publicly and openly for you. I'm glad we can step right out in the open these days for him, Robert.
Yeah.
Amen. I know people criticize, but my God, who cares?
Amen.
We're going to face the Lord one of these days.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Maybe tonight.
Yeah, that's it, Robert. I guarantee it's sooner than you got it in your mind. Do you know more people dies with their street clothes on than dies in a hospital bed with a hospital gown? Yes, sir. I'm three curves down the road. You may meet the death angel head on. I hope you minded God tonight.
Yes.
And obeyed the Lord.
Yes.
Robert, thank you for inviting me back this year.
Thank you for you and Miss Carolyn being with us.